Hello, everybody, and welcome to, I guess, the streams on a Wednesday now? Question mark. Yeah, we're fitting in streams when we can, and I guess we're having something of a guest arc, because I am sans Evelyn, but I have gained a cat bird and a spoon. So, Aiden and Spoon are here, guys. It's all of Broken Crown.
Hello. Yeah, you're often on Broken Crown, so it's... It's all incestuous.
What is this? A crossover episode?
What?
Quick Henlo. Bojack. Quick Henlo, yes. Quick Bojack Horseman reference for people at the beginning. And Henlo to you too, Spoon.
Yes, greetings to everyone. How's everyone doing?
Yes, I do say
I had a migraine earlier today.
Spoons.
Woke up with a migraine.
I don't think we have Wetherspoons in Ireland.
Do you have Wetherspoons in Ireland?
I don't think we do. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I haven't been in the capital in about... Jesus Christ.
But you're not that far from it.
No, I'm not. I think I haven't been in the capital city in like 4 years.
Oh, dear.
Jesus Christ,
I mean,
has been
I don't
long.
Blame you. Why would you want to?
speaking of Wetherspoons, the weather here has been actually autumnal for once. It's finally stopped pissing and sodding raining as Clarkson and AA
did you
both
have,
simultaneously.
Like, a really bad cold spell for a couple of days and then it just like returned to normal?
It was pretty warm today.
It was like a wet spell.
Same here.
It was the wet spell that was terrible. It was just fucking nasty.
That's the alphabet in the chat. That's the reason why I don't go to the city. If I want diversity, I'll fucking go back home.
That's the weather report.
At least their diversity is my own people.
Yes, Spoon and Aiden's links are down below. I've linked Broken Crown down below. We're doing a crossover episode because I'll be handing off at the end of this, before 8:30, to Broken Crown so they can go and do their stream. I'll try and be finished about 8:10. Yeah, we tend to do our brisk streams here. This is more of a quick discussion stream because...
A brisk stream? Wait, what?
There's going to be no moils,
no,
I'll have you
not
know.
That one,
no, not brisk stream, brisk stream.
If you want to support,
If you want to support the channel, the Ko-fi is the way without the YouTube tax. We are still monetized on YouTube somehow, So we've got super chats, super stickers, memberships, all that good stuff. And I know I keep promising more on the Substack, but that will be coming this week. There'll be a kind of a big update and maybe even like a content roadmap. Ooh, we'll see. But I've not really had time for written content recently because I've had a lot of family
Death
stuff to deal
in
with.
Modern world.
But this is one of the pieces.
This is from back
in May. But if you've not read stuff like this, I'd recommend the Anti-Politics Substack because that's where all our written stuff is and our back catalogue. And yes, if you want to find these guys, do go over to Broken Crown. All your links are there as well.
We should post.
Yes. Monarchism.
Yay, our favorite topic. Yes.
Do you two want to give a little bit of like what your background is, I guess, with monarchism? Just as a little bit of an intro, I suppose.
I actually don't know how Aiden got to monarchy. We were actually talking about this a couple of days ago, that I actually have no idea how she got to that.
I don't really know either, to be completely honest. I think that... Well, no, I mean, I read Eric von Kuhnert-Leiden's Liberty or Equality. That was the solidifier.
I think that book definitely.
But I had had inclinations towards it because I was reading Unqualified Reservations back, 10 years ago. And Curtis Yarvin has always, even though he's not a monarchist explicitly, I think, he certainly leans towards
Openly
it.
Openly advocates for it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he because I think he's had sort of contradictory statements about whether or not he is actually a monarchist or not, but he seems to lean towards that pretty heavily.
I would say he's a monarchist. I mean, if you ever see him anywhere on, that's a great shot of the book. If you ever see him anywhere, he's advocating for monarchy.
Yes, because he's advocating for the monarch to be essentially the CEO. Of a nation, and his
top-down
argument, top-down structure, hierarchy makes complete sense. And I remember reading that back in the day. Who else had I read that I thought was Hoppe?
Well, Hoppe's an anarchist, but he just
that's
said
the
like,
thing.
If you're going
I was
to
actually,
have a state, then you should go with monarchy.
Yeah, I said Curtis Yarvin but he is, I think, an overt monarchist. It was Hoppe who's not the overt monarchist, but Hoppe also. That was the first book that I read. I think had anything that gave me an inkling that there was a value in monarchy, because it appears to be a largely forgotten sort of ideology or political form, and it's only done so because the West has become convinced that the idea of monarchy is
the god.
is a thing of the past. That, you know, it's our progressive march through history. We've abandoned this silly old system of yore, and yes, we have this great democracy or democratic republic, whatever it is. But it's curious, when you start to talk to people, more and more I have over the years, you will find that when you really get down to the brass tacks of it, people want a monarch.
They do.
It's funny because my dad has told me this a bunch of times, is that a good friend of his, my godfather, his name's McDonald, he's a historian of some...
Oh, the irony.
Yeah, well, I know, we'll get to that later. But he always used to say, everyone likes a good king. And I think that's actually pretty
true.
Yeah, everyone likes a good king. Because at the end of the day, what do people want from a president? Why do they always get mad when the president or the PM or whatever doesn't do what they want to do? It's because they don't have enough power, essentially, or they have limited time, and they're not encouraged to actually use their power. Because the thing, they want to get reelected. The king doesn't have to worry about that. So I think that a lot of things that people want, is they want someone to fix things for them, to rule over them. People desperately do want a ruler. Because it divests themselves of personal responsibility.
Well, before I stop the woman talking and ask Spoon the same question. I was going to say that this is called the age of the steward. This stream, because we're talking about the fact that, you know, without the king, like in Lord of the Rings, that's why we've got Denethor up in the thumbnail if you didn't see him there, and Blair and Denethor, both really kind of steward figures.
Yes.
Whereas Denethor seems very resentful to be a steward. The likes of Tony Blair are a bit more gleeful. They understand the power of stewardship.
Yes.
But as we're going to, stewardship doesn't seem to work the same way as kingship. But that's, in case people wondering, and also not to stop any autistic arguing, Emperor, Supreme Leader Khan, Fuhrer, and all of these things are all kings by different names. Monarchy isn't so much an ideology, in my view, as it is a kind of default being for human civilization. But I expand, you know, perhaps rather controversially, I expand my definition of a monarch to be somebody who rules and wields power honestly and absolutely, as they did, or at least they have a degree of sovereignty in which they have a state function in which they are supposed to wield decisionary power. But that's just the autism undercutting.
I think that's accurate, though.
Yes. Monarchy, go!
Yeah. I suppose my journey is probably quite similar to Aiden's. I got into monarchy because in one episode of Lotus Eaters, Sargon mentioned the cathedral. And he mentioned Molbug, and I went, oh, that sounds interesting. And at this point in time, I was watching a lot of the news on a daily basis, and my mind said, I'm getting information, but it's like doing times tables over again, and I'm stuck in one chapter. And I kept thinking to myself, why is it that we like politicians, or we don't like politicians, but we like democracy?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, I could never understand, like, why is it that you get to choose, but everyone you get to choose from is an asshole? And it never works. That, to me, was just irreconcilable. And Molbuck has this great line, why is democracy positive, but politics is negative, when they're synonyms? Like, that's just true. And from then, I've read Unqualified Reservations. Like, how does power really work in your system? Like, at that point in time, I was not a fan of democracy as it is. So reading his book, I was basically already like, my mind is open, fill it with something else, because I'm basically off the democratic plantation. I was never really on it to begin with. I was more like renting. So when someone just said, hey, look, move away from it, I have no problem doing that anyway.
Living rent-free on the democratic plantation is kind of...
Did you have a libertarian stint? I still struggle to divest myself of my libertarianism. I actually don't know, Spoon. Did you have a libertarian arc?
See, that's... The thing is, for me, when I think of libertarian, it's more the case of you want people to know how to behave with the power that's been given to them in the absence of a state. And so I keep defaulting back to that Cortez line, which is that there's two balancing powers. There's internal, which is religion. There's external. This is the state. And so if you want to have a balance where the people know what to do and the state does not have that encroaching reason to basically correct society, then you need to have a strong moral foundation, i.e. you need a religious, and not necessarily autocratic regime, but you need the power of the church to keep everybody morally orientated in the state from doing the things they do. So I think we need to
stop treating autocrat like a bad word.
Yes.
Well, yes.
And so, yeah, there's
a point here that, yes, the autocrat thing, I actually talk about further down, which is the fact that there's this mm-hmm. idea that simply being democratic makes you morally better. But the little thing I have here is that we monarchies are categorized as immoral, and that projects the morals of today yes. into the past and declares all of human history, basically pre-Marxism, pre-1900, to be fascist mm-hmm. and racist and bad, despite our yes. icons of civilizational culture coming mostly from before the modern age. It reminds yep. me of the Christian Dark Age meme. And I'm going to go get one of those terrible Christian Dark Age ones, because you must, they were everywhere on the internet through like 2006 through like 2015. There was like 10 years of internet atheism that was awful.
It's exactly, it's that internet atheist Reddit, as you say, Reddit tier stuff of I am very smart. And it's this idea that even though it's really ugly
and boring, like atheism is so cringe.
It is. But it's an interesting thing, the atheism aspect, because atheists both think that they're smarter than everyone else, or at least this type of Reddit atheist thinks they're smarter than everyone else.
God, the dog
but then also, but, well. But then also, are all supportive of, or largely supportive of, democracy, which is that, wait a minute, if you're smarter than everyone else, why do you want everyone else to make decisions for you? Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for me. If you're such a big brain, high IQ intellectual, as is every other atheist in your little Reddit sphere, why do you want the ignorant, unwashed masses to make decisions? It's a fundamental contradiction.
On Reddit itself, just for that extra bit of awfulness. There we go. Think about it, guys. We could be exploring space by now.
Right. We could be... Okay. Because that's how history works, of course. I remember this, the Christian Dark Ages. You know, of course, I'm sure everyone knows, but this is a complete myth. In fact, the only reason that we have any kind of records and all of that we have been able to find and preserve the knowledge of the Romans and the Greeks, the Egyptians, etc., is because of the Christians, because of Christian monks writing that stuff down. I mean, a lot of bad stuff happened, but if it were not for European civilization, none of that would have survived.
Man, yep. I just fucking Reddit, man. I'm sorry to have to subject you to Reddit.
It's about self-loathing, because you have to, flagellate yourself for being white and being male.
You know, Reddit found one of my videos yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, no. They found the Birdman video and they put it on Mauler's one.
Oh no!
Did they like it or dislike it?
I appear to have a reputation on Reddit already.
Oh no! Did Reddit find the piss draw?
No, they think I'm a horrid racist sexist.
Well, yeah, fair enough. It's true. Yeah. I mean,
good reputation to have. I don't mind that actually.
Yeah, I told you, and I did tell you. I went through that Birdman's. You know, Scrub, you're not exactly familiar with this, but Spoon just made a 2.5 hour long video, essentially.
Oh, okay. Well, you're single-handedly creating your own, like, little Dark Age.
Yes, he is.
By wasting all that time on internet drama.
I agree, but when I was listening to Spoon's video, I started to be like, this guy appears to have an extremely limited lexicon. And I went through and found that he had used the word... grifter in his 56 minute long video. He had used it 34 times, which meant he used it statistically every minute and a half.
I just like the axis here that says, like, speaking of bullshit, scientific advance. I mean,
scientific advance, what does it mean?
What is the objective measure of whether science is advancing or not? What qualifies as advancement in science?
Do you know what I bet it is? The number of papers published? Because guess what? Called bloat.
The word papers being published in 1000 BC, not the same way.
No.
How do you measure? It's like peat and parasites. It's fucking parasites everywhere.
Well, I'm a bit of an empiricist myself, and the problem is it's unquantifiable. There's a huge problem in academia. It's just tons and tons of worthless papers published that mean nothing. So more papers published means more science means better. Yes.
It's the more good line. Bad line go down. Good line go up.
Latest conversation with Hassan and Asman goes anything to go by, scientific progress means when you have more homosexuals.
But this is really the essence of the age of the steward, though. It is what Gunon calls the reign of quantity. It is this idea that we don't have a magical, mystical system of ruling people. We have a scientific system of ruling people in which number go up.
Rule by experts.
Yes, it is very ruled by experts, but this is the essence. And why I wanted to have this as a discussion stream is a lot of it is the intangible elements of this. A lot of it is the fact that we are currently, you know, governed by people like Tony Blair. He's currently talking about per mile road pricing across the UK. And this is kind of the thinking of the steward. It's the men with the rulers. You know, it's the overly ambitious, overly officious, bureaucrat. It really is the rule of the busybody as well. When you have the rule of the manager, the rule of the steward, the rule of the person who doesn't own anything. They have really no skin in the game, and so they can just kind of fiddle and do what they want.
And they're never held to any account.
No.
Right? And they don't need to fear being held to any account because, well, they'll just leave office. The worst that can happen to them is being voted out. And we've seen how you know efficient that or how often that typically happens. These people stay in power for forever. So again, the worst thing that can happen in a democratic system, for the most part, outside of real extremes, is that you get voted out. In a Western democratic system, I mean, if it's a democratic system in some shithole country, then they might kill you. But I was thinking more. I was watching a Danks new video on that.
Oh, yes.
It was like, guys, some dictator, in Africa. For the most part, though, they just kind of vote you out, and that's it. And you are not held to any account or responsibility. It's not your land. They're not your people. Doesn't matter.
Well,
can engage in the busybodying.
The trick is, kind of the reasoning trick, is that it's taken as a given that people are in power, you know, the people hold the sovereignty. And so visible power doesn't really exist. It's always supposed to be power derived from somewhere else. Nobody says, I'm in power because I have power. They say, oh, well, I get permission from, that's where democracy intersects with it. But it really creates this situation of hide the accountability. It's interesting, you can get Tony Blair here talking about how the UK should have minimum road pricing, despite really, officially, he has no way of influencing people to do that officially. He has no official influence on UK policy. But everybody knows that Tony Blair is one of the closest things akin to a king that the modern world has. He is a tastemaker, he is a power broker, he is something that exists above governments, and yet he has no methods of accountability. People don't swear oaths to him and he doesn't swear oaths to the people. It's this bizarre situation where he has, really on paper, no influence. He's just a private citizen, and yet he is in power, but cannot in any way be held accountable for being in power, because it's playing this game of hide the sovereignty.
Sure. And at least he was at one point a politician, all over the world. You have the Rothschilds, you have all of these, mega corporations, BlackRock, Vanguard, that influence power by paying for it. And again, no accountability there whatsoever. They buy pay for
bloodlines.
Yes, but now there's no bloodline. And instead it's just pay someone. It's why Trump terrified people, why he terrified the establishment, particularly in 2016, because he was outside of their capacity to easily pay for.
That's kind of why I prefer the old bloodlines. And one of my scripts actually deals with that. It was in the old regime. The bloodlines is, I don't want to say what kept order, but it's the sort of thing that if you didn't have this repeatably, is that a word? Replicable currency that allows you access to the top class, because it was blood, it was fixed. Yes. Whereas now when it's with coin, it can be accessed by anyone that is being able to manipulate currency as a data.
It's a lot less honest.
Data as a currency, that's... Yes. Yeah.
And it's a lot less clear. It's actually a lot less transparent in many ways. Yeah. But it's certainly murky. A lot less honest. There is no explicit ruler-ruled relationship. You are effectively gaslit about the fact that you are in charge of your own destiny, you are a sovereign individual,
yes.
And everything that happens to you and everything that happens within, you know, the government itself even, is in some small way your fault. And that's right. Why I've always considered it just, I consider it more moral because it's more honest, because it is the only moral way to rule people is to do so honestly, at least in my opinion.
Exactly, going into the morality of it. So if, for example, this is a common question about the death penalty, right? So if the people choose to say sentence a man to death, right, and it comes out that actually, you know, he's not guilty of that, then the people have killed an innocent person. And democracy works the same way. And it freaks people out because they do feel that kind of responsibility. They're told they have that responsibility. It's such a big deal. Oh, it's so important that you vote. It's so important. Well, then that makes you as an individual responsible, even if it's on some microcosmic level that you're responsible. And I think that, and what I did a video on it, my last video, actually, before the one that I'm about to release, was on that. And the reality is that voting causes extreme depression and anxiety in people for that exact reason, because people feel as if, well, it's my responsibility. And if things go tits up, I'm responsible. You can't divest yourself of responsibility the way that you can if you have a sovereign.
And that's also why some people don't want to vote, because if it goes tits up, they can go, well, it's not my responsibility. I didn't ask for any of the shit.
Sure.
I think non-voting is very based, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I definitely do. But I, as I've said to you in private, both of you before, I guess people think I'm a bit of a political hipster. But me and Evelyn wouldn't explicitly call ourselves monarchists, even though we do believe in basically all of the things that monarchists believe in, because I think the term is kind of redundant, slightly, at least for what we do. We believe, you know, that there should be somebody who is in charge, and whether he's called a king or not is, free as I said at the beginning,
yeah.
is kind
sure.
of immaterial. Yeah. We believe that the idea that there is a ruling class and there is going to be a class of people who are in charge, it is an inevitable part of human organization. You can't... The liberal frame, and the reason that people have such trouble breaking out of the liberal frame, is that they think that the liberal doctrine can shape reality. They think they can create a world without unfairness, without an aristocracy, without, you know, people
yes,
who
Lindsay approach.
Yes, people without unaccountable power. Speaking of James Lindsay, I'll tell you what, I'll put this up on screen while I'm talking about this, who think that they can have this, you know, that they will slay the evildoers.
By the way, he's doubling down on that shit. It's really, really funny. I wish I could see it, but he blocked me.
Yeah, he blocked me as well. But this is your brain on liberalism, and you think that you can create a world in which people are not subjected to power, but that isn't true. And a lot of people will call us evil. They'll describe us as a form of fascist for saying that, even though
people don't know what the hell fascist means. So just ignore anyone who calls you a fascist.
But the
thank you for repeating my exact quote in my last video.
Yes, the main lie of the current crop of stewards or managerialists, as we call them in the technical literature now, as the whatever term for them you want to use is appropriate, because I think the example of Denethor, the steward in Lord of the Rings, is quite a good example. He's somebody who is resentful of, you know, there's this resentfulness, I think, in the heart of all of these non-honest rulers. These, you know, people in power without real power, they're not able to exercise power under their own name, under their own guise,
like
honestly.
To.
Yeah, they'd like to,
They would all like to be absolute rulers. They'd love to be
dictators. I don't actually think they would.
I think a lot of, they want the power. They don't want the responsibility.
Yeah, that's why I think they don't actually want the power. I think they prefer to be sneaky, because that's how they can get away with a lot more nefarious shit.
I certainly think they want the power.
To be open and evil is very, very different, because it puts a target on your back. Whereas if you do it sneakily...
Precisely.
Yeah.
That's, again, why they go through BlackRock, Vanguard, Rothschilds, all this stuff. You know, they go through it all backhandedly in the shadows. And they cannot be held to accountability because, just vote them out.
Which groups runs those?
I think it's quite an important sense, though, that there's this... problem that the confusion about who is in power has created a lot of people not having motivation, not having clarity. I think it's really contributed to the decline of Western civilization in general. There is not this clarity about where power is. There's all this, you know, people talk about conspiracy theories and low trust and people don't trust the media, but really that all boils down to the fact that people don't really know who is in power, and they're groping around the dark for answers, because a king is very simple to understand, but all the civics that is laid on top of the ruler relationship in the modern world is very baffling to people. And I think it makes them not want to participate. It gives them the opposite of certainty. It keeps people in doubt about what is the most important thing, really, in terms of your existence in the community, is who is in charge of you? Who are you subjected to? Who are you responsible to? And, you know, how do you hold those people to account?
And the reality is that in the democratic system, it's not just the people that you vote for, it's the entire bureaucracy that exists underneath of them. It is an impossible web to dissect of so many different little organizations and groups and subcommittees and all these things. It is so dense. There's so many heads of the Hydra that it's impossible for an average person to understand. Even people who are very interested in politics, I think, have struggled to you know, pull it apart.
I will say,
because it's intentionally made to be complex.
Thank you for the $20 elemental guide. I forgot to thank when you donated. And thank you, Ardent Party, for the $2 Canadian. Speaking of spice, are we terrified of 2029 asteroid? Oh dear. Is there an asteroid again? Speaking of space, sorry, that's a spice there. No, there's
no. We'll just get Elon Musk to destroy it.
We'll just do. You ever seen Armageddon? I don't want to close my eye. We'll just play the Aerosmith song, and then the meteor will turn around and go, "Oh God, that's cheesy," and leave.
Is it Apophis? Because remember when that was the last time that we thought an asteroid was going to come and kill us.
Stargate mention. Oh, you see, the Goa'uld were like a more honest society because they have an explicit rule of ruled religion.
Exactly. See, we all should return to Goa'uld society.
Return to Goa'uld. Spoon, Cree. No,
he won't get it. Don't worry.
You see, this is where their nerdiness kicks in and my brain just kind of turns off. Like, when it comes to sporting things, I can mention things and these two won't have any clue what the hell I'm talking about. So,
what was the first time where we freaked Spoon out? Oh, it was something about Linkara.
Oh my God, we ended up talking about... Speaking of natural elites...
Speaking of the natural elites, Linkara!
You know what we get? it's interesting...
See, this is what you get for growing up in a warm country where sports is the main thing in the family.
Someone
in the chat says, Spoon is a nerd. No. I thought that as a kid because I was nerdier compared to my peers at the time. But then once I left school and I went to college, then I saw what real nerds look like. I'm like, okay, I'm not that. And I kind of had an identity crisis of like, I have no idea what I am. I don't know what my clique is. Like, I am this weird mix of I like to lift heavy weights and I like to watch sports and I also like math.
Lift heavy rocks.
That's enough Linkara on screen.
I'm weird jack of all trades.
We're talking about kings and queens and such, and aristocracy and things.
Right. Yes.
I guess you mentioned earlier libertarian phase. I suppose we had something of a libertarian phase, although, as is tradition, our paleo libertarian phase was the whole Hoppian Leninism thing. Mm-hmm. So it was more kind of a lot of people who watched during the democratization era know the way we use that stuff is kind of a springboard. But I think there is a lot to be said in that kind of framework about incentives. A big thing in terms of a steward or a manager rather than a king or an aristocrat is that he isn't using his own money and his prosperity is not linked to the prosperity of the country and the land.
Yes.
The thing that Hopper says about kings versus stewards is that kings have their self-interest often aligns with it's the interests the land, of the kingdom, because the power of the kingdom is their kingdom. And it's the same with having aristocrats who are a landed class. If they own the land as their private property, they are much more incentivized to improve it and to be good keepers of it. It's very, very basic paleo-libertarian theory, but it's something, you know, we never kind of, a lot of people cycle through ideas and say, oh, I'm not that anymore, I'm this now, and I don't believe any of that anymore, I believe all of this now. But I think we've never really thrown out all of that stuff, all of the, I guess we call it a peacetime framework with the paleo-libertarian stuff is all still there. And the incentive stuff, when you look at the way the world has declined since we got rid of natural elites, of monarchs, of the aristocracy, really does prove what a lot of those people were saying, even at the time, that the destruction of this old way would create unaccountable people who had no interest in bettering a nation.
Now, what I'd like to bring up, because this is the contention that is always raised, at least to me, and I'm sure Spoon has heard it as well, is that, of course, as you said, the landed nobility, et cetera, the monarch has, the land is their property, the people are their wards. And for the most part, people are not want to destroy their property. But what I always get as a kickback to this is, well, I destroy my stuff all the time. My reaction to that is, that's why you shouldn't make decisions. But
because you're an idiot.
I find that to be a very bizarre reaction to it. But that is probably the one that I get the most commonly in reaction to that statement is, well, I destroy my stuff, my property willingly, constantly. And I don't know if you have any other opinion on that other than, again, what I said, which is that's why you shouldn't be in charge, because you're a lunatic.
My mere reply would be, your stuff is not alive.
Have you considered that you are like a weird, spiteful, dysgenic, and probably shouldn't be talking on the internet, never mind...
You introduced that phrase into my lexicon, dysgenic. Use the phrase dysgenic way too much now. To the point where like it bothers me.
I describe that,
because I see so many people... for example, there was a picture a while ago with George Soros's kid, and you can just look at him and go, you're a mutant. I just look at them and go, I can just objectively tell you're an evil human being just by the way that whatever malevolent creature sculpted you.
I think someone responding to you are less incentivized to destroy your own stuff, saying, well, I destroy my stuff all the time. I'd say the answer has a very high mutagenic load, but...
I think that was the exact answer I got, actually, I think, from Adam Frendon. He's like, well, I destroy my stuff. I'm like,
well, he's in California. That explains a lot.
Proving my point. Yeah, we'll get that into that on our stream about Adam having a very bad take.
I'm sorry. That does make it sound like you, in based world, you should be taken out of the gene pool.
Exactly. If you are someone who destroys your stuff, then there's something wrong with you. And they'll always say, oh, well, there's this, look at this, what about this bad monarch or this bad monarch or this person that was insane? Sure, those absolutely exist. They absolutely have existed throughout the entirety of human history, the majority of which has been ruled over by monarchs, by great men. That being said, there is no reason for someone who does not own the land, who doesn't have a responsibility over the people, to give a single damn and not break their toys and not throw them out of the pram, right? Because they have no reason, they have no responsibility, they have no reason not to. What's going to happen to them?
You have an easy escape trap, which is just, I will get voted out.
Yeah.
I don't think people quite understand and I think this is where I lose a lot of people, is when I tell them, you do realize the whole thing about democracy, that what you get is entirely superfluous, and what they get is actually tangible, because what you get is, I get to feel like I matter. You get a feeling. They get this procedure of legitimacy where they can do whatever the hell they want, and the second that it becomes too hot, an election pops up, you get to feel like you matter, and they get away scot-free.
It's very interesting.
You get nothing out of democracy. They get everything.
It's interesting that people still perceive people who are monarchs or have landed titles. There is this automatic deference towards them still, and they're automatically seen as a lot more exciting and a lot more, I don't know, there's something to them, an edge to them that the politicians never have.
I can tell you why that is.
Why is that, Spoon?
I think aside from the historical figures, but there is a certain elitism attached to that kind of title. It's the fact that you are above everybody else and you live in a place, you dress in a certain way, and people can tell the social hierarchy. You can look at like royalty, like Napoleon or kings, and you can go, that's not the average person. That is an exceptional human being.
Do you think the average person wants to be that, though? Is that why there's so much obsession with it? Because I don't think that's it.
No, I don't think it's that. I just think it's that they can just tell they're in the presence of something better than them. The same way that I was in the room with Trump, I can tell he's a better man than I.
Sure. I think that is it. I don't think it's that, because people always ask us as well. They always ask us, well, so you guys must both want to be kings and queens, right? Like, that must be why you support monarchy. No. Neither Spoon nor myself think that we're in any way capable.
One of the reasons we're monarchists is because we don't think we're able to do the job. We want somebody else to. Because, no. I'm well aware that there's a whole bunch of crap that I can't do, and I don't want that amount of responsibility. Because it's insane.
I think that's difficult for the average person, which is why they shouldn't vote and why voting is silly. Because I think that the average person does think they could do it. Because it's midwittery, isn't it? I mean, this the average person, the average sort of midwit, 100 IQ person thinks, well, I could do a better job. It takes a little bit of a higher IQ person, I think, to say, and I'm not trying to big ups myself by saying that, but I think you have to have like slightly above average IQ to realize, no, I can't.
And like realize the limitations of your own.
Yes. Realizing your limitations takes.
I think you have to be kind of insane to say that I can run a country better than somebody else. Like, that is a level of ego that I can't even fathom. And I'm an egotistical person as it is, but I could never say I could run a nation better than X, Y, or Z.
That again is the lie that people sold, though. I hate to say it. There's this anti-monarchy, the idea that monarchy is immoral inherently, despite it being the natural organization of humans at every point apart from the last 100 years, or 120 years. It's a very American-centric. It's very, the king. It's very post-French Revolution. It's very... It's really only got its seeds in the last kind of 250 years of history in itself, and it's only kind of taken root the last 120. And it is a very new idea, and it's a very odd idea if you study history, this anachronistic idea and this reflexiveness. But a lot of it is because, I need to say it again, especially Americans view themselves as miniature kings. They think that they are actually king of their own little slice of America, that they've got their 300 millionth of America and they are king of it.
We talk about it that way in terms of actually, like the laws that allow you to shoot somebody if they come onto your property. Right. And much of the language of the legal system in America is sort of based around this idea of every person is sovereign. And the reality is they're not. The thing about democracy, though, too, is it allows you to get the feels of having power, the emotional response that you have power by electing someone while being completely divested of any and all actual responsibility. So it feels nice. It doesn't actually give you any power at all.
I actually wrote a script on that. And I actually said it to Benjamin Boyce when I was when he was interviewing me. Well, I said from a purely sort of theoretical perspective, democracy can't actually work. In the sense that if I'm going to kind of fact this up here because I'm sort of spitballing this off the cuff, but if the whole point of like the old hierarchy from like a king top down is that the king rules top down and it's very visible and the ruling line is fixed, it's blood. But in the republic model, where the people are supposed to be in charge, how do you, the people, have power on paper enough to put people in power, but you also have to obey the laws of the very people that you put in power? It's very weird to me that you can write the instructions for somebody else to do a job, but the person you put in power can also impose laws on you. Like, if I can vote you out of office, why do I have to listen to the laws you put in place when I can also just cull you? That makes no sense to me.
It is a bit of a logical contradiction, I think. And I don't think people think... Yes. The thing is that people don't think about it in those terms, though. People can't think about power in the abstract, which is what we talk about. Our main contention with kind of monarchy, or I guess, the rule of the great man, the rule of an aristocracy, the rule of a ruling class is immutable, is that, it's this idea of people have to grow up eventually, politically. and that liberalism and especially democracy allows you to be like a political child forever.
Forever.
It doesn't allow you to reckon with the realities of power. It doesn't allow you to effectively grow up and reconcile with your place in the world.
Yeah.
And
did
did you pinch
some Curtis by any chance?
No. Well, it's a very common point in a lot of literature about the modern age, especially the boomers.
From him. And I actually like that as well. It's the fact that you have to grow up because democracy makes you like the eternal teenager.
Yes. I was about to bring up the term I would use for it in the psychological term is adolescent egocentrism, which is when people are growing up.
Academic speak.
Well, no, but there's this when you're going through puberty, your brain's all full of hormones and stuff, and so adolescent egocentrism is a thing that happens where when people are 13, 14, 15, etc., they're going through puberty. Whatever about that concoction of hormones in your brains basically makes teenagers think they're the only person who exists in reality or the only person that matters. And democracy kind of gives people that same perpetual feeling of it's all about me.
Of mattering. Yeah.
It's all about me. I matter. Well, again, not having any actual responsibility, just like an adolescent, just like a teenager. You can't tell me what to do, Mom. I'm going to vote for whoever I want. It's that kind of stuff.
Well, the main reason we believe in the honest wielding of power by people who are in power and say they are in power and say they are wielding power openly is because it really cuts down on the blah, 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 because I like the blah, blah, therefore we rule model, which is all ideology. It's blah, 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 therefore we rule. And monarchy and systems of government that have open use of power and, actual visible leaders who are honest about the fact that they are not accountable to you directly. It's much less blah blah blah. If you look at like there's the leftist meme.
Much more fuck you.
The leftist memes are like that, and leftist politics is like that because they have so much blah 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 before they won't say therefore we rule. They'll filibuster for days and then they'll say therefore we rule. But that just creates a system you can't navigate. The whole thing is it's collapsing under the weight of the blah blah blahs.
It's just like the system of bureaucracy.
Yes,
it's just like the massive bureaucracy. It's made so that the average person can't understand it, so they just check out. They're like, well, there's a bunch of words there. I guess she must be right because you wrote a whole bunch about it, or you must know, you must be intelligent, you must be educated on this because you wrote a whole, God, protect me as I embark on my journey to read this lefty meme. Must be right though because there's so many words. Whereas, with the monarch, it's bold-faced. You know exactly who's in power, and it doesn't matter really why, whether it's by God's mandate or not. You know who's in power and why.
Well, it's also that politics is always very direct. I will say that if you want to prove how intelligent and not a member of the herd you are, do give this video a like. It does make a difference. Do a dance to Al Gore's rhythms. Show what an amazing individual you are in the comments by commenting, just like everyone else.
It says, join me as I repeat the nonconformist oath. I promise to be unique. I promise to be different. I promise not to repeat things other people say. Good. Anyway, sorry, Steve Martin, but.
I've got a Spengler quote coming up. I just wanted to say, Spoon, you've always been awesome. Good. Before I do that, we've got loads of time. Before I do that, before I move on to the quoting Spengler, because inevitably I was going to quote Spengler at some point. I mean, him or Cunard Leyden, but there's enough Cunard Leyden. We basically read most of Liberty Equality throughout the Democratization series. So if you guys are hankering for some more on kind of this subject, I do watch some of our older stuff because we do kind of try and do the historical context stuff. But I think some of your best content is just you kind of shaking your head at liberalism and going, this is just kind of gay and sad and like, it's just cringe. There's no other way to explain it. It's just like, it's really piss weak. It's just feminine. Yes.
That's precisely what it is feminine. I've said that many times.
It has this.
It's because of the divestment of responsibility. So you want someone to take care of you, as all people sort of do to a certain degree. But it's this: I'm not really responsible. It's just how women act about everything.
I know it's a little bit kind of Hillary election cycle brain, but I always think about. Do you remember the pussy hat protests?
Mm-hmm.
Like we've gone from a country. We live in a society, but we've gone from a country that had a proper workers' riots. We at least when there was socialist unrest, kind of in the early part of the 20th century, it was not cringe. But like, why is my dystopia so cringe? Dystopias are cool in fiction, yet the real dystopia is real cringe. Why can't we do better?
I think it's because it's completely focused on sexuality and fuck all else.
Well, it's partially that, but it's that there's a theory called perpetual in-group victimhood orientation, or PIVO. And it's mostly...
PIVO.
Great acronym, by
Can you
way.
Record TV it's, on that?
It's only so far been studied in the Israel-Palestine conflict. Yeah, I know. I got the PIVO-TIVO joke. It's only been studied in the Israel-Palestine conflict context, which is unfortunate. But what it is that both Israelis and Palestinians see themselves as perpetual victims, based on their in-group as being Israelis or Palestinians. And I think that exists for a lot of people. And it's because they don't have any greater issues to worry about. They don't have anything that's... So again, no labor protests, things like this, anti-war protests that happened in the past, they were legitimate grievances. In modernity, people don't have such legitimate grievances. So instead, they get wrapped up in the social identity, and the identity becomes the grievance. And I think that it's Hegelian, it's the dialectic, it's the Hegelian dialectic, which goes into the Marxist dialectic, which is now the sex/race/culture dialectic of you have to break everything down. Everything needs to be deconstructed. And that's why it has to, every single thing must become an issue. People don't have any real issues, so they invent them. Mm. And then it becomes their identity.
Yeah. Can I just point something out? Because I was watching the Asma and the Hassan debate, because I kind of want to do a video on it, because I realized there's a lot of like fun stuff I can just poke fun at and use to like smuggle in really, how can I say this? You guys ever play Age of Empires?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what a death match is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially that. It's what we're going to advocate for, so I have to use that analogy, because I can't just go, hey, look, I'm kind of advocating for genocide here in a way. Yeah. In the sort of old world sense, because what I found really funny is Hassan has this weird obsession with queer liberation. He's got a harmful opinion. The funniest way of describing it is he said the way Hassan talks about it is like a tech tree.
I do like that members of this audience, some of the members of this audience will have no idea who you're talking about with any of those people, which is good. Anyway,
that's fantastic. But he was basically saying that the Palestinians have a need to have a certain amount of material prosperity, and then they will basically go full Western retardation mode and talk about like the need to liberate themselves from traditional sexual paradigms.
Well, I'll get to that, because it was said on SNL the other night, that exact thing.
Yeah, but the bit that I just found really hilarious about it is because he was talking about these people exist not as sovereigns, but essentially forever as an occupied force. And the reason I thought it was really, really funny is just from a purely civilization perspective is that culture changes all the time, especially with people who conquer you. That's typically how it works. And any civilization, there's not going to be a change unless it's either imposed upon them or it's necessary. He mentions no way how this change is necessary, but he's also talking about queer liberation while complaining about the Israelis, and they're literally in Tel Aviv is a stone's throw away, and it's the gayest place on earth. I just find it hilarious. Like, how are you arguing for the need for liberation, but you also want them to be more gay, but there's no reason for them to be gay, but if they were under Israeli occupation, Tel Aviv is the gayest place on the freaking earth. Like, how do you reconcile all these three places at the same time?
It's astonishing, actually. Again, this was just said on SNL. I've got it in the clip for our stream.
It's so funny.
Here's what they said on SNL the other night. Which I know SNL is irrelevant, and it has been for decades, but they said this exact... So, again, Hassan Piker is like an extreme far-left, commie, lunatic.
We didn't have people like Hassan Piker when there was a king. There was no cringe Twitch streamers.
No cringe Twitch
streamers. Return to a time before cringe Twitch streamers, please.
But what they said on SNL is that the reason why Muslims don't, why places like Palestine or any, I mean, they were specifically talking about Palestine, but why the Muslim world isn't pro-gay, because of course this is being brought up because it's all these like weird leftoids who are all, you know, rainbow brigade people. Why they are not pro-gay, and this is seriously why, is because the Americans and the West keep bombing them or whatever and going to war with them. And if only they stopped, then they would, again, like you said, it's the tech tree. If only we wouldn't go to war with them.
That was such a good analogy.
then yes, it was. If only we wouldn't go to war with them or whatever, if only they would just leave them alone, they would just develop naturally into becoming a dysgenic, backwards, crumbling society like ours. Great.
The thing that I could never understand about that is I want to ask people, why should you tolerate homosexuals in your society? Give me a reason. Like, if I removed all the gay and trans people from our society, what would I lose?
I'm trying not to sing that "Kill All the Gays" song because it's stuck in my head.
From a purely civilization perspective, like, what does your civilization need to prolong itself and keep going? It needs heterosexuality. It needs to reproduce children.
From that in the abstract,
The
point is that, why is it worth expending all that capital getting rid of all these people when really all you need to do is have it discouraged to a degree? It's about the idea that there is actually incentive to do that, though. There's actually no incentive to get rid of all those people. There never has been.
Right.
It's always been the case of, it shouldn't be encouraged in your society and keep it at home, but apart from that, The past was not obsessed with homosexuality. People were not obsessed by it. They had better things. They really did have better things to worry about back then.
There have always been gay people, whatever. But it's only now that it's Greeks. Become an issue, right? And that's because, again, it's a very small
minority. It's very funny that the appetite for it seems to be a lot larger than the existence of it. It's a very small minority of people. One in three stuff, all of that stuff. It is something that is not, in terms of the societal norms, normal, and it is a very small minority group. But really, it shouldn't being a political issue in of itself is one of the main problems with, low morals, low ideas, and, just purely kind of physical thinking lead to this, the lowness here, really. But we've enough slop. We'll move on quickly to the Spengler quote, unless you guys have anything else to add.
Yeah. I remember you said to me before, the manufacturing of the rainbow hippies is that genuine homosexuality is not on the rise, but the appearance of it is quite high. But to actually change someone's sexuality through a revolution is
It's very difficult to change people's internal preferences. It's much easier to just make them externally perform. And that's really what we're seeing. If you want to watch the What Becomes of the Zoomers thing that we did, because we kind of go into that. And one of the lies about the Zoomer generation is that they're all gay. They're not. It's still maybe only even self-reporting 4 or 5%. And even then, that's with all the self, being demigender. I sneezed once on a Tuesday, therefore I'm it's not gender. It's those people. But I'll go
the aftermath of the Tumblr. Stuff.
I just thought this
which
was
which is just about being special.
Yeah. I just thought this quote from Man and Technics was perfect when talking about the fact you can't get rid of the iron law of oligarchy, you can't get rid of sovereignty, you can't get rid of the fact that a man will have to be in charge, and to be in charge, he can't accept the opinions of people below him. He must always make his own decision. He can listen, but he'll always make his own decision. Anyway, to quote, there is director's work. And there is executant's work. And this fact has been the basic technical form of all human life ever since. Whether it is a matter of hunting, big game, or building temples, an enterprise of war, or of rural development, the founding of a firm or of a state, a caravan journey, or a rebellion, or even a crime, always the first prerequisite is an enterprising, inventive head to conceive the idea and direct the execution. To command and to allot the roles, in a word, someone who is born to be a leader of others who are not so. And I just, that's such a great way of phrasing it. It's like, look, if you're going to do anything, that has to be somebody's idea. And usually the person's idea it was to do it is the better person to direct it. It's really, really basic human organization in the real world. But people don't think about the fact that the small scale reflects the big scale, and that you can't avoid this. You can't avoid the fact that for a decision to be made in a group of people, somebody must make it.
And they must be responsible for it.
Yes.
Meaning that, and that's the whole point of that. It is, heavy as the head that wears the crown. That it's a very big responsibility, and democracy, again, divests those in charge of actually having any accountability towards the people. Because, what, they just get voted out. And again, you know, as you mentioned here, sort of, and as you alluded to as well, is that it is reflective of the natural state of humanity, which is that we have the most basic human unit, right, is the family structure. So you've got father, mother, child. And who is in charge? You have father, who's above mother, who's above child. In terms of responsibility. And I don't mean, like, necessarily, feminists might get mad about that, I don't really care. But
if
the dad messes up, if father messes up some way, he's the one who is held accountable. The woman actually isn't, to the same degree. Even laws don't why women get more lenient sentences on everything. It still carries through that same sort of idea. And government reflects that basic human family structure.
I was going to say, don't worry about the man as the head of the family talk. Of all the things, like, that's not... I will say, enjoy the audience we've cultivated, but people will not argue about the fact that, you know, within the family, sovereignty should be vested with the father. And obviously a degree of it, you know, all families work well as a unit, you know, but you need a you need someone who is in charge, otherwise you'll have a miserable family. You need someone whose responsibility it is. And naturally, men fit into that role. And the destruction of that, I know it's what people talk about, the destruction of that has been one of the most disastrous things about modernity, the destruction of the family unit. It is the inability for people to organize as families that's created. Without and you'll see a lot of pursuits in modernity, and a lot of the pursuits of the stewards and the managers are about stamping out the aristocrats. About, you know, it is about, you know, was it authority is not vested in you to prevent the return of the king. But that really is it. At some point, I might do a stream called Return of the King, about practical monarchy and about maybe what actual rule by decree in the modern world would look like, in a sense that would work, but that's a bit of a big project. So
That's the other question that we get asked perpetually, which is that, well, how do you bring back monarchy? Because they've been largely abandoned in most of the Western world. Even those that still have a monarchy are in name only, or they're constitutional monarchies, or, you know, parliamentary monarchies, etc. So how do we bring it back? That is a question that I don't know how to answer. I think it's inevitable. If we follow the Aristotelian model, history will cycle through these systems of government.
I think if I'm going by
things are
going to
go bad before they get better.
And I'm just looking at the way, like, just like America, for example. I know America is very anti-monarchy, but that's just, as far as I'm aware, that's just like the story that they tell themselves. Mm-hmm. I think if Trump were to take power and he was a really good executive and he decided one day, I'm going to stay in. Everything's going great. Piss off.
That's what the left fearmongers about.
Yeah, I think if people actually went, well, he's doing a good job, and if the inevitable change is not something that they favor, I think they would consider it. They would look at it and go, well, things are really good now, and we don't actually want to rock the boat. I think if he were to just take power and just keep it that way, a lot of people would say, well, if the going is good, they don't really care as much. If they see things are going well, I don't think they would really kick up much of a fuss. Because one thing I've noticed about the Americans is when they're comfort and they're happy, they're passive.
It's not just Americans. It's universal.
Yes.
When people are
Americans are obsessed with comfort and material prosperity more than any other nation on earth.
Sure.
Because it's basically what builds the nation is materialism.
But there's research on this, which is that when people are happy, they are less political. And that's not just limited to America. It's everywhere. When people are happy and satiated and they have their needs met, they don't really care about politics so much.
Do you know what's interesting? Someone messaged me a while ago. I think it was a girl, actually, just because of the way they spoke. But they said to me, one of the things they really like about monarchy as a concept is they hate politics and how divisive it is. Said that I just want someone to rule well and people can shut up about politics because it's really annoying me.
This was the speech that I did at the WITAN, less, which is that...
Well, sorry, my response was going to be completely different. I was just going to say, a girl message you, Spoon? What are you, gay?
Gay.
Thanks, Cole.
as sometimes that is just my natural response, is just to go, gay, and not make a point. Anyway, keep going.
It sounds like Captain Brannigan from Futurama. What are you, gay?
But that, again, that was a speech more or less that I gave at the WITAN, which is that people, yeah, they don't really want to be involved in this. They genuinely don't. It makes them depressed. It makes them anxious. It makes them scared.
It makes them annoyed.
Yes, they don't want to deal with it. They'd really prefer not to. When you actually get down into how people feel about this stuff, they don't like it.
I actually had a funny theory. I did some... I just look at some sort of calculation of spaces and how people behave. And I actually realized something. What people actually want is an aristocracy.
Yes.
If I'm looking at everything, what you claim you want in a democracy, what you want is an aristocratic model. Because if I just look at, take for example, do we want children to vote? No. Well, the reason for that is because they don't know anything.
Well, Adam Friedman does, but yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but he's from California. He's nuts.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
I thought to myself, okay. Yeah.
Californians don't count.
For much. Yeah, especially the homosexual ones because they're nuts. But so the thing is, you don't want them to vote because they don't know anything. Okay. But age is the reason you say that. Yes. Yeah. But the reason. Yeah. But the main thing you focus then is the lack of knowledge is the reason. So your assumption then is that if we have smarter people, they will vote for people that are more sort of in line. That's the sort of theory that you want. Okay. So if you don't want if you don't want stupid people to vote, what you're telling me is you basically just want a higher intellectual class of people to vote to put people in power. So you basically want an aristocracy by democratic decree.
Nobody hates... I was actually watching something about Ferruccio Lamborghini, the founder of Lamborghini, and how he was just kind of an absolute bit of a polymath and a Chad. He was just kind of cool. But nobody resents people like Lamborghini and Ferrari for creating these dynasties. They see that they are... They've created these things that are beautiful and they've done it under their own power, and it would not be possible without the man. And it's almost like if you look at how most people talk about cars, they subscribe to the great man theory of car history. Nobody thinks that cars, great cars, spontaneously come out of nowhere. Nobody really thinks that a great car is down to... You know,
a committee.
Yeah, it's not down to a committee. It's not down to the finance department. a great car doesn't have to be commercially successful. A great car can destroy a company sometimes, but it's still a great car. And that's kind of I was having a discussion with somebody about that. And it's in many areas of life, people see that history is moved forward, as I've put here, you know, by great men. And if history seems to have stopped in place, is because we have run out of truly great men in the West to move it forward. That's my interpretation of reality. You know, if you plug reality into that Spengler quote, this in my head is what comes out. And that, well, if we don't have anybody to take the reins and move things along out of this stagnant post-war age, then we have, for some reason, run out of great men. And in the West, that should really trouble us. And as kind of the last 10, 15 minutes here, that's an open discussion point there with you two.
I don't think it's true that we've I don't think we've run out of great men inherent. I think that, or at least great men still exist. Their potential has not been awoken, and it's because of the system that they've grown up under.
I was just about to say that. I think that there's maybe a middle ground between both of you here, which is that the current system is not. I think the main thing is because we're obsessed with equality.
Yeah,
because equality requires force, and if you're constantly beating and berating people down to the point where no one is allowed to express greatness because it makes somebody else feel ashamed or inadequate, like how can I say this without sounding horrifying? This is sort of why I understand the old model of conquest and conquer, that you were either just like enslaved or killed, is because if you were suffering under the heel of a superior person and you died, like, your line is ended. You have nothing else to offer anymore. Whereas if you incorporated, you kind of had something to prove to the people who just conquered you. Like, there's an element of you now need to shore up because your betters have displaced you. Whereas if you keep them around constantly, you're just like stewing in this massive pit of mediocrity. I'm not saying you should kill everyone that sucks, but I'm saying there was utility in doing that.
But also look at what happens in our current society, where when people do become actually have the capacity for greatness, they get stamped into the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
So geniuses, again, I think they exist. Basically. They can exist. Instead, what's promoted is feminine femininity in academia is a great example, right? Is that in order to succeed in academia today, what matters not is actually being intelligent or having some capacity to come up with novel ideas or great research. It's how well you can play with others. Can you play the game? Which is all this feminine bullshit. So,
because you're a guy, it's how well you can crush everyone underneath your heel and become great.
What you're both saying is that, the great men haven't emerged, but you can say the great men didn't die, the great man was killed as a concept, would be a better way of putting
it. He has he's been hibernated, essentially.
Yes.
He's been laying dormant for
He's
going no to
emerge from the
Hyperborea
cryogenics, is he?
Well, it's
wham, wham,
when people you step out of line, you get arrested. You step out. I mean, seriously, you get arrested. Yeah. You get castigated. You get unpersoned, and that's what happens.
Do you know what else I also think is also the reason for this? Is because even the way that we use language, like for example, and I said this in one of my videos, is because if you say the phrase "superior man," the instant reaction in our timeline, thanks to the feckin' Nazis, is genocide. Which is not what that means. Like, if you're better than everybody else, it doesn't mean you get to kill anyone who's beneath you, even though I literally just advocated for that about 2 minutes ago. But that's not what I'm saying in today's society. Like, you can be superior without wanting to, like, mass murder everyone underneath your heel.
This is another issue with the idea of democracy, is that everyone is equal. All men are created equal.
But they're not,
though. But remember, it says all men are created equal under God. They always forget that last part, which means
God did not create us equally either.
But you are not equal in capacity. Of course, not all people are equal. But it's this corruption of that phrase and the way that it's meant to be understood. No, not all men are not created equal, obviously. But people who are actual standouts are actually shut down. In many ways, they are discouraged, they're made too afraid to, and there's no real system that would allow a lot of potential great men to be able to become, to achieve the apex of their greatness.
I don't think it is as well. Go on, Scrum.
I was going to say, we're coming towards the end here. If you guys want to, not outro necessarily, but I was going to say, you guys have another stream in about another 20 minutes. So,
are you joining us?
I will join you guys, yes.
Okay.
Well, that's how it's going to be the handoff.
I thought so. Okay, cool.
Do you two have any kind of, like, closing thoughts for the kind of the last 5-10 minutes?
Play Age of Empires.
Age of Empires. I'm giving you guys a bit of room. I just didn't want to waste the last kind of 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, I was watching the clock as well. I don't know. I think I went over my major points on this, in that monarchy is the natural system of governance. It's always, that's why it was the first major system of governance under which civilization developed. And I think that to dismiss it because it doesn't align with liberal values is an extremely simplistic worldview that should be ignored.
Well, then we should move on to the shilling.
You say that kind of stuff.
Yes, I would say if you're watching the VOD, do feel free again to support the channel by becoming a member, leaving a super thanks, or donating via the Ko-fi, or via the subscribing to Antipolitics Substack. You can find Aiden and Spoon over at Broken Crown. What I will do is we'll be ending here in a few minutes, but you'll be starting about 5:30. Oh, that's got it. I put in the wrong link. Oh no, I put the link to your own stream and your own chat. That's terrible. That was awful of me. But no, what I will say is we're doing a proper. This is a crossover episode. I'll shove that in the chat there, and it's also in the description too. It's Broken Crown channel. You can follow both Spoon and Aiden on Twitter. They both have their own YouTube channels. Obviously, a lot of people know who you are, Aiden, and a lot of people know who you are as well, Spoon, because you are coming up on 50,000 subscribers, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been putting in work mainly through shitposting at people of color. They've had a propensity, as you can tell, Reddit is also knowing me as a sexist racist, which I'm very proud of.
Excellent.
If that cesspool of dysgenic freaks known me as someone that threatens and scares them, fantastic. I enjoy that.
I'm sure you do scare them.
I do. I would absolutely terrify them.
Oh, you're so big
and
scary, Spoon, yeah.
I know, I'm actually terrifying.
Spoon's scared.
A cartoon avatar with a fake mustache. Just terrifying creature.
The thing is,
at least my mustache is full.
I guarantee they make fun of you, be like, oh, he uses an avatar. I bet he's a big fat, something like that. It's like, if people knew what you look like.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm actually
like an Aryan, bald Aryan Chad.
Oh, thank you for the $10
there. I have Giga Chad's jawline, so thanks for that.
Change the chieftain. Last week, I provided insufficient funds for a glass of Theakston's. I hope this is sufficient. Thank you for the $10. That is very much sufficient. No, we were more making... we like to make weak Canadian currency jokes with people donating Canadian dollars. I don't want to be... If I ever sound ungrateful for a Canadian dollars donation, I'm not. It's just sometimes with Canadian dollars. Did you want a Monopoly money? But no... it's all in good fun. We do hope the Leafs are doing
a bit like harmful opinions. Yes. The harmful and I do look a bit alike.
You sound a little bit alike too.
Yeah, there is a bit of overlap in how we speak.
Oh no, harmful spoon-inions.
I do like him though. He's good people.
He's your brother from another mother. There you go.
Yes. Anyway, if we have nothing else to add, I will end this here and let you guys mercifully go for a pee. All that's left to me is to say goodbye from me. Come on, say goodbye, guys.
Yep. Cheers.
Greetings.
Thanks for having us on. And we'll see you over at Broken Crown.
See ya. Bye.
All right.